If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only way to salvation, would you raise your hand? Al, would you just kind of take a look? This church is full of a bunch of hand-raising believers in this house. I'm just telling you. You know, a lot of churches, and there's nothing wrong with this, okay? I'm not church bashing. I don't do that. But a lot of churches, they have a certain day of the year that they announce. If you want to have your child dedicated, we do it on this day. And they'll schedule periodic days throughout the year and set them aside as days of baptism. And if you get saved on the day after the day of baptism, you have to wait till the next scheduled day of baptism. Well, that's just not how we do it here. I believe that when Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was reading the scriptures and explaining the scriptures to him, and they went along, and the Ethiopian said, "Well, there's water. What's to keep me from getting baptized right now?" And Philip said, "Nothing. Let's go. Let's go." So if we've got water, it's a day for baptism. And so we try to keep water in there quite most of the time. And I'm serious. Grayson was serious. If you're not baptized and you're a believer, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you need to be baptized. We can handle that today. If that's you and you want to do that today, I make this offer frequently, and it's happened a couple times. But the offer is there for you. If that's you today, you let me know as soon as the time of invitation has arrived, and we will make that happen today. The water's ready. It's primed. It's water's good, isn't it, Linda? Amen. All right. This morning, I'm going to be teaching from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, that may not sound just extremely exciting to many of you, but you know what? It's the Word of God. It's got to be exciting. It's got to be exciting. We're going to be looking at the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy today, and we're going to go through, verse 21 or so, and then maybe a couple of verses after that. But I'm going to read this, and I may stop periodically as we read this just to kind of highlight some points. But if you don't have the copy of the Word of God, that's another thing that you need not be without, because I have plenty, and I would love to put one in your hands. But if you don't have one right now, we'll put it on the screen for you. But let's read the Word of the Lord beginning in verse 1 of the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy. He says, "Love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, and His commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, His majesty, His mighty hand, His outstretched arm, the signs He performed and the things He did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh the king of Egypt and his whole country, what He did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how He overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what He did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place, and what He did in to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab and the Reubenite, who were when the earth opened up its mouth right in the middle of all of Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving to you today, that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by the foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So I say to you faithfully, obey the commands I am giving to you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the field for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods, bowing down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and He will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the ground. From the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit down at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days as the ancestors are above the earth. In this passage, Moses is speaking not to the young ones. He's speaking to the adults of the group. He's talking to the parents, to the uncles, to the aunts, to the grandparents, to the neighbors. It is us as parents who have the responsibility of teaching our kids. Some believe that it's the church's role to do the teaching, but that's not what Scripture teaches. The church supports, it trains, it assists in order to help you to be fit for the all-important task of teaching our children. It's our responsibility. Now, does the church find itself training up children? It does. It does. But that's not how the Lord designed it. The Lord designed it for the parents to be the ones teaching, to be training up, with the support of the congregation, with the support of the believers. Okay, and that's kind of what we talked about with Shane and Kristen this morning and the boys. It's their primary role, but we have a supporting role in that. I will tell you that they didn't know I was going to mention this morning, but Aaron and Rebecca, on their way to school in the mornings, there's a devotional book that stays in the car, and they have a time of devotion every day on the 15-minute drive between the house and school. Every day. It's the parents' job to have that time of devotion. And listen, folks, it's not just the good things that you teach your kids. It's sometimes making sure that you're not teaching them the bad things. Watched a movie this week, or last week. It was 42, the story of Jackie Robinson. Has anybody seen that movie? If you have, raise your hand. Okay, it's a good movie. Jackie Robinson was the first African American major league ball player in Major League Baseball, and he went through a lot of chastisement. Through the racial divide was great during that time of our country's history. There's a certain scene in there. It's very verbally, very graphic. He's on the field, and the crowd is chanting, for him to get off the field and to leave, and he doesn't belong here, and go hang out with his own kind and whatnot. And the ones in the crowd was a dad. He was standing there, and he was calling Jackie Robinson the word that just makes people cringe, makes me cringe. It starts with the N. It just doesn't belong. And he was just calling him that over and over and over again. The little boy was sitting next to him. He was probably seven, eight years old, maybe 9 or 10. And he was very confused. He was very confused. He was looking at the field and looking at Jackie Robinson. He was looking at his dad, shaking his fist and calling these hateful, insightful words. And he didn't really know what to do. You could see the confused look on his face. But then he decided to join in, and he started saying those same words and telling him, "You don't belong here. You need to get out of here," just like his father was doing. Because why? Because his father was teaching him. We have to remember, it's not just that we teach our kids the good things, but it's that we make sure that we're not teaching them the wrong things. And the saying is true, they will listen to more of what they see than what they hear. School is certainly not going to teach them the ways of the Lord. Not these days. Their peer groups are probably not the best source of knowledge about spiritual things. But they are teaching. They are teaching. We have our work cut out for us. And don't even try to look for the government for help. The government will just tell you that if you make a mistake, there's a simple way to resolve that tissue issue. Right? That's what they call it. It's just a tissue. It's in that womb. It's not really a baby, and there's a way to resolve that tissue issue. It's just, if you made a mistake, it's not a big deal. They'll just take care of it. Well, you know what? It's too late for that teaching at that moment. They need to be taught beforehand. And that's our job as parents, to teach them that. The world has a different system than we do. I'm not saying that one's better than the other. All I'm saying is one's right and one's wrong. Okay? One is biblical and one is full of lies created by the father of lies, Satan himself. In verse 2, we saw that Moses, he makes it clear. He says, I'm not talking to the kiddos. I'm talking to you. The ones who were there, ones who saw God's mighty hand, saw the deliverance, and he described how they were delivered from the army of Pharaoh in Egypt through the Red Sea and how God provided for them in the wilderness. And he's not talking to the kids. It's because they weren't there. They didn't see this. He said, you have to tell them. You have to tell them your story. You have to tell them how God impacted you. You know what he's saying here? He says, you need to share your testimony with your kids. You need to share how God has impacted you with your kids. Because listen, I can tell them all day long, but because of the close connection that parents have with their kids, it's more impactful coming from mom and dad. That's just the way it is. In verse 13, there's something we need to really pay attention to. He says, so if you faithfully obey the commands I've given you today, to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart and all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, the early and the latter rains, so that you may gather in your grain new wine and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. This is one of those conditional promises. He says, I promise I'm going to do this. Last week we talked a little bit about the rain and how the rain represented God's blessing. Here it is. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. If, what did it say at the first part of that? If you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today. And what are they? To love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you do those things, I will bless your socks off, the Lord says. That's not in the New King James translation, but that's how I read it. That's how it says, it comes across in my feeble mind. It says, I'm going to bless you beyond belief. I'm going to take care of all those things that you have no control over. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to be your provider. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be your Savior. I'm going to be all those things that you're not, if you just trust me. In verses 16 and 17, he says, a word of caution. He says, be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. And we could talk about all the gods that are in existence today. And I'm not talking about Zeus and Apollo and Thor and all those kind of gods. I'm talking about the TV god, the money god, the activity god, the fun god, the food god. That gets a little personal there, doesn't it? Because I like some of those things. Anything that we put before God in importance has become God in our lives. And he says, be careful. Don't worship other gods, bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you and will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the land, the good land the Lord will give you. He says here, look, if you'll be obedient, if you'll trust me, I will bless you. And if you don't, I will withhold my blessings from you. Now, if the Lord was saying that to Moses and the people back then, and we believe that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He does not change like the shifting shadows, what makes us think that He's saying something different to us today? It's the same word that stands for how long? Forever. People may are like grass. They may fade. They may fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. It endures forever and ever. Obedience to the command brings blessings. But be careful. Disobedience brings a withdrawal of God's blessings. Now, maybe you didn't grow up in a home with parents who taught you the ways of the Lord. You can break that chain. You can certainly break that chain. Maybe you think your chance is gone because your kids are grown. It's not too late, because guess what? They are probably having children of themselves. And you are an influence in their lives. There are more than enough children to go around who need to know about Jesus. And if you don't tell them, the world has a message ready for them, and it's not the message of the gospel. We have children's church, which is in need of workers. We have Sunday school classes that could certainly use some help for our kids. We have Sunday night and Wednesday night programs that are in need of workers. The field is white unto harvest, but the workers are few. You saw some examples this morning. Grayson called anyone who's not been baptized to be obedient to the Lord and get baptized. You saw Linda fulfill her need to be obedient to the Lord in baptism. You saw Kristen and Shane dedicate their boys to the Lord and promise to train them up right. And you, the church, agreed to support their God-given role to do just that. I want to move on down to verse 26, 27, 28, and see what it says here. He says here, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse." We talked about that, right? The blessing and the curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I am giving to you today. The curse, if you disobey the commandments of the Lord, your God, and turn away from the way that I've commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you're entering to possess, and you are to proclaim on the Mount Gerizim and the blessings on the Mount of Ebal the curses. What he says here is basically is this. We have a choice. He says, "I set before you a choice today. Curses or blessings. Obedience or disobedience. You choose. It's your curse. There is no middle ground." There's no middle ground. It's your choice. You choose. Blessings. Curses. How do you get blessings, curses? Either obedience or disobedience. I set before you a choice today. So let me tell you, folks, God sets before us a choice today too. Obedience or disobedience. Blessings or curses. Our problem is we have this sometimes a warped sense of who God is. Well, God is love, God is good, God is all these good things. So He's always going to be good to me no matter what I do. Did you know that that's actually taught in a lot of places? But it's not from Scripture. I mean, the Lord is, He loves you unconditionally. His love is not based on your deeds, not based upon what you do. But His blessings are. His blessings are. The choice is yours. You know where those choices lead. Where do you go from here? You have to decide. Now, maybe you don't have kids. And you think, well, this message was not for me. I don't have kids to teach. I believe that everybody in this room is influential in somebody's life. You speak without ever saying a word. I mean, you preach, you teach without even saying a word sometimes. So it is important. and it is for you. How many of you growing up were influenced by somebody, an adult, that was not your parent? Anybody in the room? Okay. It matters. It matters what we teach. It matters what we preach. It matters how we interact, how we act, how we live our lives. It matters. It matters. And let me tell you something. Just like these two boys, Blake and Brayden, that were brought up this morning, dedicated to the Lord. Just like the kids that are sitting next to you. Just like the kids that are out in that other building out there right now. Just like the kids that are still at home right now. It matters to them. And you may be the one that influences them. It matters. The choice is yours. The results are in Scripture. If you will be obedient, and if you will teach these things, God bless you. If you're disobedient, if you stray off and you start doing all this other mumbo-jumbo stuff, again, that's my translation, then I'm going to withhold my blessings from you. The ground will wither up. There will be no rain, no blessing, no rain in your life. The ground will dry up. The cattle will die. And you're going to find yourself withering on the vine. Folks, it's our choice. It's our choice. Aren't you glad God is a God that gives us choices? That is a good thing. You know, here's the deal. When I come home from a trip, I've been gone somewhere and at a conference or a retreat or something, I come home, and when my kids were little, one of the greatest feelings I could ever experience was when I come home, they would come running out the door, "Daddy's home! Daddy's home!" And they'll come running like this. That is a much better feeling than if I looked at them and said, "Now you get up, you walk over here, and you give me a hug whether you like it or not." They would obey. They would do that. But it's not of their own volition. It's not because they desire that. They want to be with me. And folks, that's what God wants from us. He doesn't want us to come to Him out of duty. I got to go give God some worship today. It's Sunday. I'd rather be fishing. I got to go give God some worship. No, He loves it when we come and say, "Oh, I've just been waiting for this opportunity because I can't wait." Guess what? That is teaching somebody the importance of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ. Oh, as it's been prayed before time and time again, oh, that today you would open that heart, allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and to tug your heart and to draw you into that relationship with God Himself. He wants that. He desires that from you. If that's you today, oh, I would love for you to come down here in just a moment. Let me visit with you, pray with you, walk you through just how to confess and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And it's quite possible that you're here today and you're sitting there thinking, "Well, I've been a major failure. My kids, I've missed my chance. My kids are grown, and I didn't do, oh, God is a God of second chances." I'm not saying He's going to give you more kids because some of you don't want them. But if your kids are still breathing air, there's still opportunities. Maybe you're here this morning and you didn't grow up in that kind of an atmosphere. Today, you can start a brand new tradition. You can start a new heritage of growing up people in the Lord. And maybe they're not even your own kids. Like I said, there are opportunities aplenty for the kids that come to this church. We have kids that come, they get dropped off, and the parents leave. They have relegated the responsibility of teaching their children the ways of the Lord to the church. Well, guess what? If nobody else is going to do it, we're going to step up and we're going to do that. Okay? But it's going to take you and I both working together to pull that off. And we need help. If you're interested in helping with some of those areas, just let us know. There are, like I said, the field is wide unto harvest. The workers are few. Whatever the Lord has been speaking to you today, maybe it is something completely off the topic of which I spoke of. And that is okay, because the Spirit has my permission to change my words from my mouth to your ears. Okay? Truth is, they're not really my words anyway. I just try to speak what the Lord has given me to relay to you, and He has full editorial rights to change to fit your need and what you need to hear. So if the Lord has spoken to you today, let me just encourage you to respond. There's something so important about responding. There's something very important about responding. It's a physical action. It's like baptism. It doesn't say you have to be baptized to go to heaven, but it's a sign of obedience. And to go through that motion, through that procedure of being baptized into water, it speaks volumes. And it does something when you go through that. It affects your inside. And so when you will physically respond, it'll stir something up inside you. Let me just encourage you in that. Father in heaven, we've gathered here in this place. Lord, we've witnessed some great and mighty things, the baptisms and the dedications and the testimony of a young man, and Father, other things, the singing, the music. And Lord, we've lifted your name up high. Father, we've opened up your word and gathered and gleaned from that a truth that we can apply to our lives. Father, a teaching that you want to use to grow us closer in relationship to you. But Father, all of that pales in comparison to somebody coming to know you, putting their faith and trust in you for the first time. So if that is true of someone in this place, Lord, give them the courage, give them the inspiration to step forward and to do that today. Lord, whatever other needs are, the altar is open, Father. They can come. They don't need to come to the preacher. Lord, because when Jesus died on the cross and the veil was torn in two, you gave everyone access. If they would just put their faith and trust in you, Father, you've made us kings and princes. You've given us access to the very throne room. Like we sang, take me into the Holy of Holies. You bring us into your very throne room, Father. So, Father, folks can come and just kneel at the altar and have direct access to you. They don't have to come through the preacher man. And I thank you for that opportunity. Lord, I just pray that as we've heard you and the Spirit has moved in our hearts, that we would respond to you. That's my prayer in this time and this place. In Jesus' name.